I'm going to begin with something I just received today from Joseph Lennon, who was our student here in the department some years ago, and subsequent to that, our colleague in the department, and who is today an associate professor at Manhattan College. Joe had the Bill's senior chapel address from 1963, which he delivered to students at that time, and these are the closing lines from Bill Brady's senior chapel address from May 17, 1963. It was entitled "The Progress of the Soul," the first anniversary. "Life, which you all know imitates art, is most like a Shakespearean play. It satisfies least when it is most evident. It succeeds best in evading you just when it has been most neatly explained. No single regimen or formula will unlock its meaning. You must not accept another man's word for it, but become totally absorbed in it yourself. And if you do, it will be possible to see feelingly the significance of time and change, turning the accomplishment of many years into an hourglass." And Joseph sends his regards and love to all here and to Sid especially. I'm in a lectern and I just about picked up Bob's speech and ready to move back. Over the past several weeks, it has been my multidimensional and nearly continuous experience to reflect upon my 40-year acquaintance, both personal and professional, with Bill Brady, the legend, and with Bill Brady, the colleague and friend. While the snapshots in my memory of these moments are both melancholy and joyous, heartrending and hilarious, and surely numerous enough to fill a shelf of albums, the narrative, the through line, the essence of these decades, and the people who shaped them with their deep desires and dreads, remain bewilderingly elusive and perhaps necessarily mysterious. What is man, the sage, the bard is fond of asking? Stage direction. The inquisitor paces in silence. Then suddenly a great guffaw, as worthy of Beckett as of Shakespeare. Then the strains of a cello, no doubt Bach. Lights down, curtain, tears. Put another way, I have been fascinated and even obsessed over the past several years by the challenge of attempting to photograph the dynamism of water as it sluices, froths, and flows, from the Mississippi River to the Ganges, and even a stage prop fountain reminiscent of India, all to no avail. You may experience a fountain for a friend, a river for a profound love, but possess them you may not. That said, my meager and forever inadequate snapshots of Bill Brady pulse within me as memory unfurls. Astonishingly, I remember, for example, the exact moment when Bill and I first met. The time was the late summer of 1967. The place was the sedate living room of Sam and Doris Moon. The dramatis personae were the distinguished members of the Department of English, some of them here today, and others fondly remembered. The occasion was my first encounter with this august and ravish assemblage. What a hoot. What a puzzlement, I was in the process of thinking, when suddenly the door burst open, this is no exaggeration, and in strode Bill, carrying on his forever memorable voice the very winds from the coast of Maine. "Greetings, friends," he boomed. as the heath air settled around him. May the saints preserve us, I may have murmured, or some more culturally appropriate, if coarse, equivalent. This was the 1960s, after all, and each of us was in the process of shedding numerous stale restraints. The main point being, however, was that Bill conveyed to me from the outset that he had a wee smidge of the Irish in him, which, combined with my own youthful devilishness, often made for prankish and amusing spectacles. As the grandfathers say, the stories I could tell you. For instance, during my first month at Knox, Bill approached me one fine October afternoon in Old Main with the wink and nudge suggestion that we take a stroll. This was hooky playing at its finest. As we headed north, stopping at several taverns along the way, toward his grand frigate of a house on Cherry Street, where for the first time I saw the Brady attic in its full spinnaker billowing, made even more luminous by the internal glow of Johnny Walker Black. In subsequent years, of course, this attic was to become the stage for numerous celebrations of Shakespeare's birthday, where a rollicking time was had by all, with Bill often playing a tragic hero or outlandish rogue, while I, on a few occasions, held forth as Caliban, nibbling on toes. On the serious side, Bill's embodiment, there is scarcely any other way to describe it, of various Shakespeare texts in the classroom context, is the stuff of legend, as many here today can attest. Indeed, for more than a few, it virtually defines their Knox experience. Or consider, if you were ever privileged to glimpse it, the image of Bill, thumb and fingers tripoded on his forehead as he listened to Mozart or Verdi or Brahms and openly wept. Because Bill, especially in his career-long friendship with Mickey Haney and his devoted partnership with Sid, longed for nothing more than the national news from New York, D.C., or Chicago, the cultural news from London, Florence, Paris, or Madrid. In this respect, he was the emblem of cultivated and cosmopolitan enlightenment. Yet he came to love Galesburg, too, as well as Knox, and was doggedly steadfast in his support for those who espoused liberal and international causes, most particularly Congressman Lane Evans, who could not have hoped for more loyal enthusiasts than Bill and Sid. Just a few more images. I remember sitting by Bill's hospital bedside and discussing the merits and limitations, perhaps, of Philip Roth, Norman Mailer, Kurt Vonnegut, W.B. Yeats, and Richard Yeats, and many others, not to mention Bill's memories of Auden, tipsy, swaying and grinning on this very stage, while the department held out their arms to cushion his fall to earth. I remember the dark days when Bill stood beside me in the halls of justice and in the shadow of my late wife's casket. I remember our dogs romping together at Lake Story and our children growing up together in the pleasant golden grid of Galesburg streets and the tricky, sometimes disheartening maze of Galesburg schools. I remember our giggles, our belly laughs, our plots and schemes, and our dreams. I remember our sorrows and our years of radiant hope that mere disappointment failed to tarnish. Several days after Bill's death, I met with Sid, and for a moment we held hands. Her face was shining. "We made our life here," she said. "Ah, Bill," I thought. "Such a spirit, such yearning, such dark days of resignation, such bright days of love, dedication, and resilience." "Ah, Bill and Sid," I thought. "Such a triumph. May we remain imbued by your sense of a life made here and pass it yet on to many another."